I'm coming into your living room. Let's give each other a great big hug. Amen. Let me give you a couple announcements. Tonight, Calling in the Lost starts at 6. And we'll come in here and spend that first part right away in Calling in the Lost. And then we're showing on the screen the Tulsa Conference. And tonight is Pastor Alan Taylor. And if you've never heard Alan, you really, really need to come and watch, because he's a very just incredibly anointed, what a compassionate, loving person. Compassionate. And he's, not to go into it, he's faced some real challenges over the last few years. And my God, what a champion, an incredible champion of the faith. Hallelujah. I'm looking around people with purple on to some color. Yes, purples have it today. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We worship you. My God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let me look here so I don't forget. So I will just mention real quickly that your year-end contribution records will be coming in probably in the next week or two at the most. We have a really, really, for 20-plus years, we've had a good in-house accountant who has done books for churches for many years, and she is really well. Carol Sandlin is her name, and Carol lives in the Tampa area. Please pray for Carol. She has been having a fight that she is winning with cancer for the last couple of years, and Carol Sandlin, and she's a wonderful, wonderful lady, and she does a great job with our records. If I need to call her and ask her a question of what about this, what about this, she can pull it up within just a minute and give me the answers. So she'll have your records, and if it's wrong, and it's very possible that we could be wrong, always know this, that if you're wanting an accurate giving record, you have to put it in an envelope. That's what the IRS goes off of, and that's what our records basically. If something comes in, now we've got our ways that we can compensate for you not putting it in an envelope, but it needs to, if you want for sure that it comes back correctly, okay? And if it doesn't come back correctly, then see us and we can, you know, we can go back on our records. Like I said, Carol keeps really, really good books. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad you guys out there are here and listening. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, I love you. And I love them. And I'm asking you to guide us and lead us during this time. Lead us, Daddy God. Holy Spirit, I love you, sir. Thank you. I love you. Give us wisdom. Give us direction. Give us insight. Only to the glory of God. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So I'm going to put that away. And we're going to talk on, share on, out of Scripture. Thank you. See, one of our elders is spot on, as all of them are. And I won't say who, but they're waving an offering envelope in front of me saying, did you forget? And I appreciate that. No, I did not forget, but we're not. The message this morning, the whole message is about the offering. So thank you. And in fact, I will tell you this, that the next few, I don't know how many, the next few messages will be on the subject of stewardship. What's that? It's giving. Now, I've got this in my notes, but I can, and I'll read some of it in a moment, so it'll be more precise. Now I'm just kind of exhorting and elaborating. I love it, and this is the only way I operate. The only way I choose to operate. I'm not saying I've always operated like this, but I choose to do everything not by necessity. In other words, if you think that you need to teach this subject, sometimes the Lord will enlighten, and I know that there's a need to be met, so you present something, the Lord gives you the wisdom, and you present it, and it meets a lot of needs. Help me to coin this. The necessity would not be on your end, but the necessity would be on my end. Like having to be driven. Like, where's this coming from? There is no sense of necessity, like, I have to get this done or do it so I can get a bigger offering. Let's just put it that way. Or so we can get more. In fact, I didn't even know that I was going to be teaching this particular series until just a few days ago. And it just began to download. Like all things do, as I stay in prayer and as I meditate the Word, it begins to download. One of the things that I have learned, because being a speaker and now speaking collectively, accumulatively, I should say, to thousands of people now and in different places of the world, as I have spoken to people mainly here, and this is my favorite place to speak, and in different conferences, what I have found out, and as times I have been asked to receive, not take, but to receive offerings, one of the things that I have found out is there's a few things in life that you don't mess with. You don't talk about people's mama. And you don't talk about people's money either, normally. I would love for you, well, not to mistreat you, I'd love for you to get the experience one time in your life as a public speaker. You can have a house on fire, just, it's like joys all over the place, and then when you start talking about money, everything gets kind of tight-jawed. Like, now we were having a good time until you started on this. So that's... And that's not necessarily true here, but it could be at times. It could be. But that's kind of a general census of the body at large. As I said, I want to talk to you about, he wants to talk to you about stewardship. Stewardship, now listen to this, because some of the things that he gave me as we introduce this. Stewardship is about money and giving. But it is much more than that. It is a distinct privilege that God gives to every one of His children, regardless of status quo. It is the reality of overseeing a portion of God's property and distributing it in a fashion that empowers the harvest of the kingdom of God. The harvest involves more than just altar call, street witnessing, mass crusades. Do you understand when I say that? And as he said it to me, when we talk about financing the harvest and the kingdom of God, and when we specifically say the harvest, we think of souls being won, but the harvest is far more than just a definition of souls coming to an altar. Do you understand that? There's far more logistics. There's far more behind the scenes. There's far more things that echo in that than just you're witnessing and getting somebody saved. There's a whole government behind that that causes and helps that to be brought into fruition, that it can happen. The Greek word, now listen to this. The Greek word steward that Jesus used in its simplest form means one that oversees, a person that oversees. And the reason why that I bring, the reason why I introduce this, and we're going to, as we go along in this over the next few weeks, we'll give you pertinent scripture to the steward. But just remember this, it just simply means one that a person that oversees, looks over, distributes. And in that definition, I hope that you see this. And I'll tell you what I hope you heard, that every single one of you in here this morning, at some point in time, get the opportunity to be his steward. You're all overseers of the blessings of God. Amen? Now help me out. Praise God. I'm relying on you, Renee. Amen. Anytime that a Christian gives towards the gospel in faith, they are overseeing a portion of funds that they believe God has entrusted to them for the purpose of the kingdom of God. That's, I mean, in its simplest form, whoever you are, and whatever you're doing, and you hear from the Lord, or you determine in your heart, and you give. And we'll talk about this in the days ahead. It's not just giving in here. James distinctly says that there is a giving to the widows and the orphans. And I would encourage you to find an outlet. We've got one particular outlet presently that we're giving to as a church that involves widows and orphans. We're going to find more. And we don't do this through works. We do this through the law of liberty. I will encourage you in the days ahead scripturally as we go forward. But anytime you are giving into this gospel, and I'm not talking about just this place, but for you that are seated here and call this home, usually it's primarily, and I would agree that that's probably a good disposition in the spirit to take. It's primarily here, but from here can launch out into a lot of different areas. Anytime that that's happening in your life, on whatever level, you are becoming a steward, and you are being a steward of God's finances. Amen. Hallelujah. I just shared with you from the beginning what I had in my notes, that the disclaimer was this, that I'm not doing this, and I don't think that I have to answer a question of, I don't believe that I would get any accusations. I don't believe that. It'd be okay in a certain sense. I mean, it would definitely be okay as far as not taking an offense. But I'm not giving a disclaimer to cut off anything this morning. I just simply want you to understand that when we speak on things like this and it is prolonged, though, like it might be over the next few weeks, I want you to understand that this, going back to my original statement, is not out of a necessity. Like, I got to do something. We got to do something. It's just as is everything that we do around here, it's Spirit-led. Hallelujah. Those of you that are watching, you don't know, and you have no background to base this on. Those that are here and have been here for a number of years, my number one goal in the Spirit is to follow Him as the Good Shepherd, and that I am as He is the Good Shepherd. He's a good shepherd, is He not? That good shepherd makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Dr. Jim Martin has an incredible series on the good shepherd and it is a parallel with what human shepherds, pastors, and the word pastor means shepherd, how that we are to parallel and to follow him. And that's how we're supposed to pastor. And that's not it in a nutshell, but he did some incredible work on that a number of years ago. Without even hearing that series, it has been always my desire is to treat in prayer and consideration in all offerings, is to treat you in a manner fitting that I care for you as much or at least as much and even more from the standpoint of the beginning place as I do the vision. You see, sometimes people will have a vision and they don't care who they hurt to get to that place. You're more important than that. Now, the vision's important. The restoration of the kingdom of God is important. That's an admirable, that wasn't given. We didn't sit down and say, what kind of vision would you like? Let's think of a good vision. This was birthed in the Spirit. So it's for us, it's a command of the Lord. Receive an outpouring. This is why we fast. This is why we pray. Receive the outpouring. Why? Because restoration of the kingdom of God in its fullness is our, that's what we live for via, this is what it's all about, being formed into his image. First and foremost. Out of that image, we produce the fullness of the kingdom of God. As a shepherd, and as a good shepherd, I seek always, I try, sometimes you say always and then you think back, I try to say, what about them first? You see, in the natural, when you talk about shearing the sheep, a lot of times that has a horrible connotation because it's been used in a negative connotation, and rightfully so many times. But do you know that in reality, in life, sheep are sheared, that means all their wool is cut off, normally one time a year. I'm not going to start going there that we're going to just take up one offering every year, okay? But I'm going to use this. It's cut one time. Sometimes they'll have a double cut. But when they receive the wool, and I hope you know that wool is still a major commodity in the world, and I don't think there's anything that they've created yet synthetic that matches natural grown sheep wool. It's just in clothing. It's in all kinds of stuff, okay? But when he, and now it's not just one man, but when they sheared then, when the shepherd would shear the sheep and baggage the wool, he would always do it in the springtime. Well, what does that mean to me? One, this is that sheep under any good shepherd would let him touch them. They trusted his hands. They trusted his hands. The other thing is they would always shear the sheep. I looked this up. I thought about it first. I thought, I wonder when, and it would be interesting if they did do it when I thought. They never do it. It's not in the winter. Why? Because he doesn't want them cold, for one thing. He doesn't want them without. And it's never, ever been my desire that in the winter of your life, see, because people will walk through a lot of different things sometimes, and sometimes people are in the winter of their life, and finances are hard, and maybe they're working hard, and maybe they're doing everything they can, and their heart's desire, it's never been Amber Alert. So, is that an Amber Alert? Is it? No. Okay. I was going to pray. It is always been my desire that when we're encouraging, that we never inflict a discouraging on those that are walking through the winters of their life. In other words, we're never taking from them to leave them out in the cold. That's good stuff. That's straight from heaven. The other thing, too, is that I can't build a repertoire fast enough between the people that haven't heard me before. All I can say is that the people that are here, I hope, understand that the things that we will say today and frankly during the next few weeks, say, that's a man that I can trust. That's a man that cares about me first. Hallelujah. You know what? Here's the deal. Part of the deal. When we have prayer lines, when we have a prayer line like praying for sickness or like we did this morning, sometimes we'll have a collective prayer line. And I'll say, if you have a need or whatever, and people will come up and whatever. This is the God's honest truth. Well, you shouldn't have to say God's honest. Just say this is the truth. This is the truth. There's one person above all people that I am most honored to see in my prayer line, and that is my wife. That is my wife. And I'm not saying that because she's more special than you. I'm just saying that because of this. When she stands in my prayer line, she is respecting me, and I don't demand that respect, but she is respecting me not only as her husband. At that point, she's respecting me as her pastor. And when she allows me to put my hands on her, she is saying to me, I trust you. I trust you. See, she wouldn't let me, and I hope none of you women would. She wouldn't let me put my hands on her if she didn't trust me morally. And if I had been treating her cruelly, no one will let a shepherd touch them as treated them cruelly, or that they don't trust them morally. So the greatest, and so I say that, I hope that I can touch all of you in your hearts. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's just part of the introduction. Amen. But it's good stuff. The word, again, for steward is, in its simplest form, is one that oversees, okay? Recently, that is the AC, right? I don't want it to be the heater. Glory to God. Recently, I watched a message, just a snippet of it, from someone that I knew of their church. And I don't want to be critical this morning at the expense. I don't want to teach this at the expense of others. That's the way I would say it. But I knew this person, and I wanted to see kind of how they conducted their church. So I never watched them, and I went online, and I watched just a 10 minutes of it. Well, they had a very, I don't know how big their, I didn't see the congregation. I would say, I'm guessing their congregation must be hundreds. It may be in the thousands. I'm not sure. That may be exaggeration. I'm not sure. I know their facility will seat thousands. They had a huge stage, and on the stage they had a number of worship people. And that's wonderful. I hope to have that one day. We have some wonderful worship leaders as well. And they just had, my gosh, with all the instruments and stuff, there must have been at least 12, 15, I don't know, maybe 15's more, too much. Anyway, I was just wanting to see just how they conduct. And by the way, now I'll say this in preface. For years, I have not watched Christian TV. Well, where do you get your stuff from, Pastor? The B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand upon the Word of God. The B-I-B-L-E. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. Praying in tongues for me. Yes, praying in tongues for me. I pray and pray. Okay. Yay. I know this may be too far-reaching, but I would almost beg you. In a general sense, not to listen to Christian TV. Why? Because more is not better. If you think more of just getting something puts more in there, it'll put more junk in there. Why not use the time that you're watching to go sit in a corner and pray in tongues? Listen, honestly, honest engine. Honest to God. I said that a while ago. I don't have to say honest to God, but I'm just trying to get across. I would rather you go to Netflix or Redbox and take the same time that you were going to watch that Christian TV and watch whatever you an adventure movie or an action-packed movie. It won't do you as much harm. Pastor, you're getting mean. No, that's... that's just good stuff. In watching this TV production or this church, and I'm not saying I don't know what goes on there. I bet some good things happen there. But I just happened to turn it on during the time in which the offering was being taken. And I'm not saying they did a horrible, horrible job, but what I heard, and I live such a sheltered life, and I make my own sheltering. You can make your own sheltering. You can make your own sheltering by not listening to it. Well, we want it on the house. Turn some good worship music on in the house. Well, you say, I can't do that in my house. My house is not, and maybe you can't. Some of you live with unsaved loved ones, and that's fine. I understand that part. But don't watch that stuff. Don't watch it. And the person was taking it up, and I bet you they love God, and I bet you they mean well, and I bet you they really, but it was what I was hearing when I was listening 30 years ago. It was what I was hearing 30 years ago. It was tithe and offerings. Okay? It was tithe and offerings. And in the presentation of tithe and offerings, it was also about sowing your seed. Okay? It was about sowing your seed. And what they went on to say, and they didn't exhort long on it, but I'm sure that there's probably been more teaching on this that would back it up, because this person was one of the pastors of the church, and they were, forefronting for the main pastor to come, but they were taking up the morning tithe and offerings. And they said, now remember, this is your seed. Now that he didn't say this morning, but they'll teach you, if the tithe is your seed, you do not spend your seed. If you give your seed any other place, you're in trouble. You're in trouble, mister. But that person didn't say that that morning, but he did say this. Remember, your tithe and offering is for your protection and your provision. Okay. This is, I will say this, and this is why I don't get invited to too many churches, okay? That's an Old Testament message, okay? And without this, over the next few weeks, is not going to be on proof of tithe versus New Testament offering. We could get into the logistics of that and go into Malachi and the Old Testament and Moses, and that's a good study, and it's worthwhile, but that's not our objective. That's not where we're headed. I will just in generality say this, and believe me when I say it, I promise that we have Scripture to back it up. That's an Old Testament message, an Old Testament command. Jesus, now listen to this, and this I know, as well as I know that Jesus loves me, this I know, this we can prove. So I'm going to make general statements, but I can tell you, scripturally, this is not me just wanting it to be this way, this is scripture. Jesus did not teach tithe to the church. You don't find that Jesus taught tithe to the church. The apostles, search the scriptures, the apostles did not teach tithing to the church. Now, do you understand? I will say this. The word tithing means tenth. And that means giving 10% of your income, whether that is gross or net. Some, you know, the people that do teach tithing will teach you can tithe on your net, but if you really want to be blessed, you need to tithe on your gross. Okay? If Uncle Sam gets it, God ought to get it too. Okay? The word, the apostles did not teach. You cannot find that the apostles taught on tithing in the church. The word tithe is only mentioned, the word tithe, that word, is only mentioned twice in the New Testament. And it was by Jesus, but it was in the same setting, the same set down. So in essence, I guess he only mentioned it once. And if you want to write this down, it's in Matthew 23:23. And the same setting is in Luke 11:42. And when he mentioned, I'll give those to you again, Matthew 23:23 and Luke 11:42. And when he mentioned tithe in that, it was both times, it was a rebuke to the Pharisees. It was in a negative connotation, and he was rebuking them because they based their relationship with God on tithing, and yet they had no love in them. So the only time that Jesus ever mentioned it was in those negative connotations. Now, again, I'm not trying to be mean, but I can tell you this. Anytime you hear people or a preacher, not say people, when you hear a preacher talk about tithing and they're really honing in on the subject of tithing, they have to, their crux, their main scriptures have to be out of the Old Testament. Okay, they have to really build that foundation. A lot of times out of Malachi. Okay. How many of you know we're not under the law anymore? We're not under the Old Testament, okay? And I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just saying this. If we're going to go back and revert back to some of the Old Testament in our practices, why don't we bring a lamb in here every Sunday and just kill it? Well, Pastor, you're being stupid now. No, wait. I mean, what's the difference? If we're going to go back and take part of the law and say that we got to keep this part of the law, then where does that end? I mean, shouldn't we just, you know, next Sunday, now all of y'all that don't have a truck, y'all need to buy trucks because you need to bring your farm animals in here. And we'll kill them out in the parking lot because I want blood all over the place. Well, you're just being crazy now. No, well, think about it. Just think about it. Next time you hear, just think about it, okay? Hallelujah. With that, I will say this. I live a sheltered life by not watching that. You live a sheltered life. Listen, I can't do it this morning because I'm not in that mode. I do a pretty good Don Corleone imitation. If I was in a restaurant, you know who he is, the Godfather? See, most people in the church, the way they're taught, God is not their father, he's their godfather. I don't know if you've ever seen any part of the Godfather. But if I was in a restaurant and could turn my back to you and put a couple of rolls, a big maybe at Olive Garden, take a couple of those breadsticks, break them in half. One of them, break it in half. I'll stuff them in my jaws. I sit there like this, and I can talk to you. It's Don Corleone. With those big jaws puffed out. See, when the... I'll talk to you as a Don. Do it. Vinny. Not you, Vinny. Cousin Vinny, I loved you like a son. What you need? What you need? You need protection. Things can happen to your family. It's a wild, crazy world out there. Your children, they need protection. You know, they're going to school, they need protection. I'm going to send my boys by your place every week. And if the money's there, the protection is there. But if the money's not there, things can happen. You know, what can happen? It's better with... Now, when you don't relate that, but when you... Isn't that what's being said? If you don't pay your... Is that kind of what that person said? If you don't pay your tithe, the protection won't be there. He's not going to be there for you. And if you want prosperity, you need to pay your tithes. Hallelujah. We're having a good time, aren't we? So we do live a sheltered life. I have this in my notes. Pastor, I would never fall for that. Well, sure, because you've broke out of the matrix. Much of that by following me. Now listen, the Matrix, I don't know if you've ever seen any of the movie The Matrix. Neo, the main guy, it was kind of, he kind of was aborted out of his little test tube with all that goo all around him and something hooked up to his brain, because the Matrix is this main internet intelligence that is, because there's, humans are batteries, okay? They use humans as batteries, and they use the brain power of humans, and they put them in their own little world. They're not in a real world, but they're all just kind of floating in suspension in this goo. Something's hooked to their brain, but they give them lives. They give them lives of marriage and children, and while they're in this sedated state, they think that they're living in a real world, and yet this machine or this internet is using their energy from their brain all the time. Neo broke out of it. He was the foretold prophet, and providence broke him out of it. Listen, if you would have came here, if I would have still been in the Matrix, let me say it this way. I know this because it's just proven. I could have gotten at least, I don't know what you're giving right now, but I could have gotten at least 10% from you on a continual basis. If I would have been in the Matrix still, and if you would have come here, we said, Pastor, I would never. No, you wouldn't, because you broke out. And part of your breaking out was you came here and heard the messages I was teaching. But unless you had already broke out and came here and heard me, and if I was still in, you'd have said, forget that guy. I'm not falling back into that. But if you came here and liked what I was saying, and I was still in the Matrix, you would have followed me, and we'd all been still in it. So let's never scoff, because what we've come to know is by grace, and much of what you've come to know is by following me, and if I was still in it and you were following me, we'd all still be in it. Okay? makes sense. We'd all still be in the matrix. Okay? So we're not condemning anybody. It always amazed me. It always amazed me when they would say, you know, they're trying to pump you up. And they say, well, first of all, they tell you, God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Glory to God. And then they start telling you how much he needs your money. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. I got a deal. If he's got all that property and all them cows, why not just let him keep his and I'll keep mine? And we're both good. Now, God needs your money. He's got a cattle on 1,000 hills, but he needs your money to prosper you. And I'm thinking, okay, wait a minute. Best way to prosper me, if he's got all that, if he's got a 1,000 hills and cattle on 1,000 hills, why don't he keep his, I'll keep mine, and well, everybody's good. Does that make sense? It does to me, especially when they start that. Okay, listen. Everybody's still here. Yes. Say yes, Pastor. Hallelujah. I lost my amen. Come on, Alex. Come on. Come on. Say it, Pastor. Amen. Say it, Pastor. Okay. The New Testament, listen, does not teach tithing, but it does teach giving and stewardship. And it teaches that in a number of places. Okay? Now listen to this. Just like Jesus took righteousness to a higher level under grace by setting a standard that said it was not the physical act of adultery alone, but the hearts. Would you go help them understand that we're having service in here? I've got to reread this, okay? Just like Jesus took righteousness to a higher level under grace by setting a standard that said it was not the physical act of adultery alone, but the heart's desire that constituted adultery, giving and stewardship under grace is also a condition of the heart that supersedes all commandments under the law. Did you get that? Okay, I'm going to read it again. Okay, I think it's necessary. Okay, just like Jesus, because I think it's good, just like Jesus took righteousness to a higher level under grace by setting a standard that said it was not the physical act of adultery alone, but the heart's desire that constituted adultery, giving and stewardship under grace is also a condition of the heart that supersedes all commandments under the law. Amen. The truth is that the way God sponsors the work of the kingdom is through contributions, giving, and this is what we're going to talk about over the next few weeks, the higher level of understanding, which is stewardship. That's the highest level. This was how Jesus' ministry was sponsored. If you look at Jesus' ministry, he had a couple of, you would call anomalies, different times, like where he would feed. He fed 5,000, 4,000 through a supernatural. And then one time he paid his taxes through a supernatural. But his MO, his way of sponsorship, was through people. And we've shown that before. Okay? So that's the normal way. This was how Jesus' ministry was sponsored. This was how the ministry of all apostles was supported. Because the message of tithe and offerings cannot support the kingdom of God, there is not the proper teaching of stewardship, churches have resorted to other methods. This is very important. This I have to I can't let you fall asleep here. Listen. Because the message of tithe and offerings cannot support the kingdom of God. In other words, because it's Old Testament, tithe and offerings can never, ever get over to the kingdom enough to support it enough for what God really wants to do in an outpouring. It's OT, and it's the old way. The new way is far better. But because the church at large, maybe an overreaching, because 90% of churches teach tithe, they're trying to get something done with a superficial method. And a lot of them don't mean anything, mean to be misled. They just are, because they're parrots and they went to school and they learned it from others and they never broke out of the matrix. And because of it, the kingdom, there'll never be enough that'll come in by that method. And the church knows it. They know it. And even though they haven't sat down and said tithe and offerings is failing, they've come up with other methods. Did you know the number one method, and I challenge you, look this up, or just go to any major ministry. The number one method for the support of churches outside of tithe and offerings is schools. Schools. Now, I told you a little while back that a man, and a guy that I really like, is a friend of mine, and he's got a tremendous ministry. He took me aside. I had an appointment with him, and he showed me, with just a few students here, based on a supplemental, what the government will match with, he showed me and told me how that we could actually double, quadruple maybe our income at this small church. Now, can you imagine many churches today, that they have become a business? Okay, they are ministry. I'm not saying there's no ministry. There's ministry, but they are ministry / business. And the reason why they've become a business is they have found, whether they realize it or not, they found that tithe and offering really doesn't work anyway. Even if you extort the people and say you need protection, so you get 10%, even if you make them scared enough, that still won't make up for what needs to be done in the kingdom. So they realize there's this deficit, so we've got to come up with something else, so they become a business. Well, somebody says, well, why is that a bad idea? It's not a bad idea if God calls you to teach little children, kindergarten, daycare. And when I say schools, I'm talking about daycares in churches is the number one other support in ministries, and probably the primary support other than tithes and offering. Daycares, preschool, and secondary education are going right up through elementary, middle school. In other words, we could, and I know how to do it, and I've got some people that I know personally that are qualified now, we could put on this facility a real small modular, and we could pay off everything and have plenty, but that's not what we're called to do. I'm not saying 10, 15, 20 years down the road, God might say, start a school to teach or to help, but I'm telling you, it's usually, and I would say more than not, put into action because they need the business income. They need the income coming into the church rather than providing a ministry to society. What does that speak of? It speaks of this. There's a failure beginning first right here at the pulpit to convey the joy. Now, this is the series title, and I didn't even say it to start with, but he brings it up now. The joy of giving, or the joy of stewardship. Do you know, and I wasn't planning on going there, but the Greek word, you've heard this exhorted before, but I don't know if you know the reality of this, is that when he says over in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, when he says God loves a cheerful giver, do you know, you don't have to dig this out. You can go to your Strong's, and probably the first word you see is the word hilarious in the Greek. It doesn't, it you don't pronounce it. It is our actual word, English word, hilarious. But it means over ecstatic joy. It means giving should be done with an absolute over ecstatic joy. And the reason behind that is, and that's not the teaching today, we'll go into maybe some more of that in the next couple of weeks, is if you learn the heart of God and if you become joined to Him in stewardship till you really realize what honor has been given to you and I through giving, and you know, first of all, this is another lesson. And this is another lesson, but I'll mention this. Do you know that God wants prosperity to come to you first before you ever transfer that? In other words, He wants to prove to you first how good He can be to you before you can get it over to the kingdom. God is not a medieval monarch. If you ever watch any of those old Robin Hood or sword, you know, all those medieval shows, you see people on the streets of Scotland or England or Ireland, and they living in those thatch huts, or they're walking those cobble streets, and they've got rags on, and they're bartering for a couple of potatoes, but you've got your tax collector coming by and getting whatever they've got left. And then the scene will switch, and you've got a monarch in a castle, and he's got a feast that's a, you know, endless table, and he's bringing all that reaping in from extortion and from strong-arming and keeping the people poor, and his palace is beautiful and ornate, and he's got all the food, and there's big turkeys and your pheasants and all kinds at every meal. God is not like that. God wants you prosperous first, and out of your prosperity, then there flows, Daddy, you've been so good. You love me. You've fed me. You've prospered me. Out of that prosperity flows a generosity, a desire for generosity. Hallelujah. That's good to know. That's good to know. Let me read some more of these notes. This was how Jesus' ministry was supported. And as I said, churches today are not only ministries, they are businesses, daycare, preschool, upper levels. And I invite you to look at any major ministry. You're probably going to find that. Okay. What is the meaning again of steward? Overseer, please. And I want to say this, no one is going to be left out over the next few weeks. In other words, I'm not going to speak to, when I talk about stewards, I'm not going to speak to a select group in here. There's far more of you in here than what you realize. Far more. And we're going to come after some misnomers, some misunderstandings, misnomers being the way that things have been said, misunderstandings being the way that things have been perceived, and help you to understand that so many of you really have a dualistic call in the kingdom of God. Now, we're going to distinguish between the two types of stewards. And we're going to maybe say just a little bit about that before we close this morning. No one is commonplace, and everyone is precious, and everyone in that sense. Turn to your neighbor and say, it was so glad to, I was so honored to sit next to you this morning, steward of God. You steward of God. Because we've done a number of other things this morning in that precious presentation with our president, vice president, I'm marking some stuff where we'll pick up next week. And there's some definitions here that I think you'll be very, very interested in. I want to mention where we're going to go. We're going to go to two scriptures next week, 1 Corinthians 12:28, which mentions one of the two types of stewards in the body of Christ. One is not a commonplace person, but everyone's a steward. But there's a secondary one who Gary talks about as a risk taker. There's other ways that I will define that as well, and I think that's good. But everyone in here is a steward of God's money. And it's a tremendous privilege. Tremendous privilege. 1 Corinthians 12:28 and Romans, did I say Romans 12? 12:8. Those two collaborating scriptures define one another. And I'll give you some Greek on it too, to define that. But in that, there is a particular absolute call for people, men and women in the church, for a particular secondary, that would be the second one that I would define as a steward of God's finances. And that's a call to transfer, to create and to transfer. And a lot of times the misnomer is this, is that people think, well, I don't have a lot, so I must not be that person. Listen, I know this, Pastor Dave used to say it, there's a number of gifts that are going to be mentioned there, but you can have more than one. There's the fivefold. There, the bottom one we know everybody has is diversity of tongues. Everyone's called that. Everyone is called that, diversity of tongues. But there's other ones listed there, minister of helps, governments, and then there's a fivefold listed above that. I do know this. All of you are called to at least two of those. I know one is diversity of tongues. The other one is somewhere else in the upper part of that list. When I was a younger man, before I came into the ministry, before I ever heard the teachings of Pastor Dave, for whatever reason, and I don't know, I had never even talked to anybody about it, I had a dream in my heart. It was really in my heart, and I used to talk to God about this. I wanted to become a man of extreme wealth. And my heart's desire was to take that wealth as much as I could and transfer it over to the kingdom. That was a desire of my heart. I later got called as what I'm serving now as a pastor. I would say in some ways I don't know that I felt at the time, to exemplify how important that call of entrepreneurship for the kingdom is. I could almost feel like I got demoted. Demoted, but Pastor, you're the pastor. I know, but there is no more precious place, along with the other precious places, than getting the opportunity to transfer. Listen, if you've ever just sat and daydreamed, here's some good litmus test. If you've ever sat and just daydreamed, and there's a burning in there that said, man, I wish I had. We'll define this more next week because everybody can have this from time to time. But I'm talking about if there's a continual kind of, I wish I had a whole bunch. Or I wish I had 1,000. If you've ever dreamed about writing the check for 25,000 or 50,000, there's a good chance that call is on you. Good chance. I will say this, and this is part of next week, and we're getting close to closing, so it'll be in more extensively into next week. You start where you're at. You start where you're at. Some people say, when I make it, I'm going to give it. You won't. You won't. Oh, yes, I will. If you're giving, listen, and this is the part I say, this, here's the shepherd's hands, and you got to trust. If you're giving nothing, unless you're at that point where you have nothing to give, But if you're in the church and you're never ever giving anything, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. But if you've had this dream of giving those large amounts, and to you maybe even a large amount is $1,000. Maybe that's it. But still there's something in there that Pastor Dave used to say this, and I love this, and I'll close with this. He said back in the days where there was an oil crisis, and that was decades and decades ago, he said that he would meet, he met two or three men in his travels, from what I understand, and it was maybe predominantly because, I don't know where he was at, I can't speak for that, maybe he was in Oklahoma, that has typically been the part of the world where there's a lot of oil. Of our nation, Texas, maybe he was traveling there, I don't know. But he said he had met several men during that time, or a few men during that time who came to him and they were going through a crisis, and these men were millionaires, or they were really well-to-do, and they had made a lot of money in the oil industry. And because they were going through a crisis during that time, he said he had more than one that would come up to him and say, Pastor Dave, will you agree with me? Will you agree with me that God pulls us out of this, and God, you know, helps us to get past this? If you'll agree with me, and the money starts coming back in, our plans are to transfer millions or bunches or lots of money over to the kingdom, and they may have said to your ministry. They may have said that. I can't remember. I do remember this enough about it to speak truthfully about it. He said he did that for a couple of times. Man, he said his hand was like, phew, yes, we'll agree. Amen, let's agree. He was like, yes, sir, man, Jesus, bless this minute, you know, bless this man. You know, Lord, let the business. He said he started to do that on about the third one, I think he said. He said he started, it happened two or three times. He said he started to agree with, and the Lord said, tell him, no, you won't. And he heard this voice tell him, no, you won't. You won't do that. And he was about to put his hand in his hand, and he was about to agree with him, and the Lord said, don't do it. And the Lord said, no, he won't, and tell him, no, he won't. And he said, you know, you usually don't tell rich people, because they don't, you know, they're pretty self-sufficient, and they kind of have figured out how to do it. And you usually don't tell a multimillionaire, you know, where to get on and get off. And he started to agree with him. He goes, you won't do it. And the guy was like, what? And he goes, no. He said, you won't give it. He said, I can't agree with you because you won't give it. He said, because if you can't give wherever you're at, there'll never be a point in the future that you'll give when you have more. I know people sometimes will say, when I get it, when I start really getting it, I'll really be giving it. The flesh won't let you. It will not let you. You have to give as in everything. When we talk about this, and I do know that I said we're closing. When we talk about dying daily, do you know you don't die all the way to death every day? Even when you die the death for that day, and even when the flesh is on the cross that day, you've not totally died forever or the complete death. Paul said he was still following after that. We do know we're growing from glory to glory. We die daily, yes, but our dying daily is still in increments. We die, I'm doing my best to die today. I know I got to keep Bronk on the cross today. I know tomorrow's coming, I'll have to keep Bronk on the cross tomorrow. But I know whatever death that I die today, I haven't completely died. I don't know that I'm completely dead to money completely. When you, listen, as it is right now and as it has been, and this is the standard, if you gave $100,000 today in this offering, that's not my money. For 20 years, I've never taken, just walk up and say, okay, wow, we got a big bunch. I need that. I'm going to take that. I've always drawn, I believe, before God, and if you saw my W-2, if you had a problem with it, I would question your generosity, a modest salary. And it's a salary. And if you gave $100,000 today, I wouldn't say, wow, there's $100,000 there. Candy, pack the bags, we're going on vacation. We got 20, we're going to take 20 out of that. I would just, what I, only thing I would do is take my salary and go forward with that. When a person thinks that at some point in their future, when they have a lot, and yet, and I'm not talking about being dog broke. If you're dog broke and you're just believing, we don't want to shear you in the winter of your life. But if you're not dog broke, and you can, but you won't, you never will. You never will. Because whatever it is that is the excuse now will be the major excuse then. Oh, Pastor, you don't. That's the truth. Whatever is keeping a person, whatever reasoning is keeping a person from giving now will keep them from giving. If they had a million, that the flesh would figure out a way to talk them out of it. That's true. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for your generosity. And as I said this morning, this wasn't a pitch. I want to say this, because we are, thank you for that elder that reminded us, we're going to receive an offering this morning. These are not sacred, and the reason why I say that is I give you permission. You can take as many of these as you want, okay, home with you, okay? It'll just mean Otto has to restock, okay, and maybe we have to order some more. If you take an offering envelope, that is not, I'm not trying to remind you, I'm just saying the stewardship that we're going to talk about is best done or managed even outside of a service. It's outside of the way that I've ever come to how much I'm supposed to give. I can hear God in a service, and I can even give out of my heart in a service. But the stewardship that he's going to ask of us is you quietly at home, after hearing messages and listening, and I wish we could get some of these to you. You don't have to have one of these. You can give on PayPal. But what I'm talking about is the best way, really, is that you come here with this already made out. Don't wait for I don't like to say a, you know, something that I'm trying to get from you. But the best way is that even before you get here, during the week, in your private time, you're praying about and saying, and we're going to teach you some even better ways. We're going to talk a little bit. This is not a series on that. If you want to hear a good series on that, we'll recommend it, about the pound versus provision. I know a good guy that teaches that. And we'll do that. But this morning, because we haven't taken up the offering yet, and those of you that are listening, I'm going to ask you to pray. You don't always have to hear something. And somebody, God didn't speak to me. Well, what would you like to do? Because it's as a man purposes in his own heart. In other words, okay, I go to this church. I believe in it. God's word says I should do this, or I'm instructed to do this. What should I do? Well, I can't hear anything. Okay, I'll just figure out in my heart. That sounds like a good amount. That's one way in a service. I'm telling you, really, there's even a better way outside of these doors. A lot of you come already prepared, and I appreciate that. Let's pray, and let's ask God, and those of you that are watching. Father, we worship you. We thank you, Lord, that you are our grace for sufficiency, for every good work. We not only want to receive into this ministry, we want to give outside of our ministry. We want to give into those ministries that we know and love and appreciate, because they are those that we know that are doing the work of the harvest in the kingdom of God. May the grace of God be upon your stewards this morning and those that are not only here, but those that are listening and those that will be listening to this message. May the grace of God touch our hearts. May all of us become greater givers in joy, in that ecstatic joy of the Lord. We give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Would you please? And again, as I said, you can take these with you or take two or three of them home or whatever. They're always there for your convenience. If you please stand with us this morning. Remember tonight at 6 o'clock, and we'll be watching Brother Alan Taylor. If you have something this morning, please bring it down. God bless you. We love you. Love you out there. Amen.